The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
If you're looking to spruce up your home with a fresh coat of paint but don't know where to start, or do you fall victim to some of the common mistakes when it comes to painting your home? Well, one woman who has all the answers is none other than Laura DeBarra, author of Gaff Goddess, and she joins me now. Laura, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, the question is where to start if you've never done it before? And we know there's a certain generation who don't even know how to change a plug. And they certainly don't know how to paint a wall.
That goes across many generations. I've like managed properties where there's been people 30 years older than me and they haven't known how to change a light bulb. And then I've had tenants who are younger than me and they've known more than me. So I do think it's just what we're exposed to. So if you haven't any experience at all in painting, but you'd love to give it a spruce, I always say go for it because it's one of the most sustainable ways to update a space. You're not buying lots of plastic or like wasting a lot of money. But I think in the planning is where a lot of people go wrong. So these are some tips that can help you save money and save time and frustration.
Now,
I think
prepare seems to be the watchword. So what do you need? In addition to, you'll go to the DIY store and you'll buy your brushes and you'll buy your appropriate coloured paints. But what else do you need?
So tool-wise, my advice is always go for the best that you can afford rather than just heading in for the cheapest. And the things I always use that get me the job done quicker, a 3-inch angled brush. And if you're doing your walls, you'll be using a mulching. Make sure you go for synthetic. Sometimes people go for the real hair because they look stunning in store as well, but they'll actually absorb so much of the paint. It's really hard to get a crisp line. A roller, if you're doing large walls, my favorite is a 12-inch roller. I buy the frame for it and I'm able to just lash through the walls really quickly. And the extension poles are amazing. You can just stand in the one space and do the wall without climbing on top of stuff. Most people that are painting for the first time won't have a ladder, for example. So you want to make sure that you're going as safely as you can and you're only up there when you're cutting in. They're the main things that I would use. But then I would also buy a scuttle or a tray. A lot of times when I see friends going wrong, it's they're using the straight from the paint can all the time. A scuttle is like a big bucket with grooves on it that you're able to put the roller into. And a paint kettle is a very small, and you can repurpose something else for a paint kettle. It's a small little bucket you can carry around when you're cutting in or topping up areas. It just means you're not dripping paint in places. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you'll have things like tape and dust sheets and old sheets. Ask around as well. A lot of times people have old sheets that they'll give to you no problem. And I would also get things like filler knife and sugar soap for cleaning. But one of the main things where I see people go wrong is the type of paint they're using. So colour is a massive thing. People will say, oh my God, I'm going to colour drench this entire room. It's going to be stunning. I'm going to do the ceilings, walls, skirts, but they forget about what's not being painted. And then their white windows become the most obvious thing in the room, or the white refrigerator, or things that aren't being painted start to flash to the eye. So always consider what you're not painting as well as what you are painting. And if you are conscious about chemicals and like harsh chemicals, look for low VOC paint. Basically, VOCs are volatile organic compounds. And when something is low in VOCs, it means that they have less of the bad stuff. So if you're painting like maybe a children's room or your bedroom, look for that. If you're painting a bathroom and you don't want to paint it again for years, use bathroom paint because it's going to be great for the humidity levels.
Okay, now people will use the dust covers to cover furniture that they can't move out because of size and tedium and so on, or won't move out. So dust covers covers that, all of those that you don't want to get destroyed. And that can include carpets that you might not be lifting for the thing. But what about yourself? Everyone who ever paints anything ends up with a spot of paint, at least on their nose.
Yeah. And I think, look, we're going to mostly be using water-based paints now. I think oil-based, a lot of people veer away from. And just how strong they are. And they can be easier to work with because they dry a lot in a longer time. But for yourself, just make sure you're wearing old clothes, but water-based paints will wash out. So I tend to just wear old clothes that I have. Like I have the same pair of jeans and jumper that I've been using for the past 7 years when I've been decorating. You can just keep them separate. So you don't have to worry about getting yourself destroyed. When you're painting the ceiling, you will get it all over your hair. You can wear a hat for that.
Yeah. And when you go about painting in those old jeans now, you really look like a professional. You have every colour under the sun on your jeans.
I usually just have brilliant white matte because that's all you do in rental properties because it's the easiest paint to top up. It's the easiest paint to use. You don't get flashing when you're topping up little holes and stuff in the wall. So it's always just white on me.
Now, some of the tools of the trade. You mentioned that many people just simply don't have a stepladder. A stepladder is a handy thing to have around the house. Also potentially dangerous, of course, people do fall. But why would you need a stepladder when you've got these extension poles? And the answer is quite simple. There's that picture that's used to hang on the wall there. You don't want it to hang there anymore, but there's a big screw coming out of the wall and you've got to climb up to get it.
And you also have to cut in, like, the most stunning paint job you'll do is you'll spend more time cleaning down the walls, fixing all the holes and then cutting in. So you're creating a frame around the wall with your angled paintbrush and then you're filling it in with the roller. So you will need to get in to get that crisp edge. And when people fail to take time, like, cutting is the most boring thing you'll do. Put on a great podcast and just spend time doing it because it makes such a difference.
Now, do you bother sanding down surfaces before you paint them?
It depends on what the surfaces are like. If they are something that's been covered in paint over and over, I do like to prep. Sometimes as well, if it's a dark coloured wall that I want to get lighter, or if it's a light coloured wall I want to get darker, I save so much money on paint by using a primer. So you'll either buy something that's like a grey if you're wanting to get something darker so you don't do loads and loads of layers of the expensive paint. If you want to do something that's a dark room that you're changing into light, just use a primer. It's way cheaper, it's thicker, and it brings you back to a more neutral base.
Now, you mentioned masking tape. I mean, everything you use masking tape on is protected in theory. So even if you've got some of those plastic light switches, which many people have, there's nothing worse than looking at a beautifully painted wall and then on the switch, hardened drips of paint.
They call it the landlord special here. So basically, you want to get the best masking tape that you can afford because cheap masking tape will rip your paintwork. You'll have to cut at the edge of it with a Stanley knife to be super careful, but you also just don't want to get into that mess. So masking tape is fantastic. And you, again, it's going to take you longer to tape and cut in than it is to paint the walls, but it's so worth doing it.
Now, the other little tools of the trade that you might treat yourself to, a paint can opener. There is such a thing.
There is. I mean, a lot of us end up using, you know, like the head of a screwdriver.
Yeah,
I mean, and I also think like it's really strong and it's less waste, like you're using something you already have. But then there is that joy of having a lot of things when you're going to do a task in DIY and you'll keep them forever. For me, like when you're living in a small London flat, it's easier just to use your screwdriver. Yeah. And also I would say if you do want to do the job really well, if you instead of buying that, buy a paint mixer. They're just basically a long piece of plastic or metal that you can use to stir the paint up. I mean, you'll end up using like a chopstick or something, I'm sure, when you're getting stuff delivered. But like, I would recommend getting something like that instead. That affects the quality of the paint going on the walls rather than just opening the can.
Yeah, some professional painters will have a device they stick into their drill to stir the paint, particularly if you're having, say, a 2 litre pot of paint and you really need to stir right down into the bottom of it.
And they're super handy and it is just an attachment. But for a lot of people, when they're not even knowing how to start out to paint, they may not even have a drill.
OK,
so having a manual one is good.
Finally, I should ask you, Laura, about the cleanup. You know, no matter how careful you are, you'll end up with paint here, there and yon on your hands, on your face, as well as on surfaces. What's the best cleaning agent to get rid of paint?
So when you're using oil-based paint, I usually end up cleaning that up with washing up liquid and water. If you get to it fast enough and it won't cure, basically paint will dry, then it will cure, and then it's really hard to get off. So every evening that you finish painting, go through the area with a fine-tooth comb and make sure you've got everything off. But one thing that people sometimes forget to do, like if it's oil-based, you're going to use terps. You have that to hand anyway. Use an old rag and you can take it off the surface. Just make sure if it's a laminate floor or something, don't be too rough because you don't want to take the coating off there. But when it's water-based, don't wash it down the sink. Even if you're using Lovox, I would scrape off as much paint as possible, but every evening I would just wrap in cling film anyway. Just you can then use that paint again tomorrow. When you're completely finished, you're going to scrape off as much paint as possible. You're going to rinse it in a bucket or a container, something spare. You can even use the takeaway cartons. Then I would leave that evaporate and dry, and then you can dispose of it. If you're disposing of oil-based paints, you want to use hazardous waste after you've let it evaporate a little bit. A
couple of quick questions. What about paint conditioner? Is it necessary or is it just for large-scale projects?
It can be more for large-scale projects. And then also you've got different things that you're going to be using if you're painting over fresh plaster. Like an example there is going to be you'll water down your paint loads because your plaster is absorbing the water and not the paint. The conditioner is mainly for, like, if you just want to paint your living room, it's not that complicated if you prepare well.
Okay. Do you have to use white undercoat under white gloss on wood? I find it hard to see if it's done properly, says a texter.
So when it comes to painting wood that's already been painted, is that what they mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's already been painted, it's usually going to be an oil-based paint. You're going to have to sand that to key the surface, clean it, sand it, and then put on a primer. And then you can go over with your new paint. If you don't want to use the primer, maybe you're trying to stick to a budget, you could go over it with just the paint, but you have to sand in between. I personally would always use a primer. I use Bullseye 123 because it's so good. I would just be making sure that I'm making that surface ready to take the paint.
Laura, thank you very much for all of that advice. Laura DeBar, who's author of Decor Galore and The Gaff Goddess. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.